Welcome to episode 3 in our Divine Intimacy series. I'm Sister Jean Marie, and this podcast is entitled Living in Christ, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. In a recent homily, one of our priests told us an incredible life-changing story about a woman he had spiritually directed. Rosemary was an ICU pediatric nurse at Massachusetts General Hospital. Her 9-year-old daughter had been diagnosed with cancer and was dying. She called a priest to come to administer the sacrament of the sick and give her Holy Communion. Just as the priest was about to give the Eucharist to her, he stopped and asked Rosemary if she would like to give her daughter Jesus. Rosemary then had a profound experience. As she gave her daughter Jesus in the Eucharist, she realized that she was giving her daughter to Jesus at the same time. A great sense of peace and love overflowed into her. Given that experience of God and the consolation she received, she decided to investigate becoming a hospital chaplain. Not long after the death of her daughter, she began her studies while still working as a nurse, and after receiving her master's degree, became a chaplain. Rosemary was then assigned by the Mass General as a chaplain full-time and counseled staff, patients, and families for the next 20 years. She was known to say of her experience, "I was given a gift, and it cannot be hidden." Desires are like seeds that God has planted in us that we need to activate. Spiritual desires are hidden and not known by our egos, but known by our soul. They are the buried treasure within us that we must discover to fulfill who we are and who we're called to be. Jesus explained his mission in these words, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." What is this life that he gives us? It's the life of grace, which is participation in his own divine life. Being born in Christ through baptism, we are to live in Christ and walk in Christ. Our life journey is a constant revelation involving ongoing spiritual transformations. Every day is a new beginning, an adventure. As Christians, we believe we only live once, and it's not a life to be lived with regret. We should not hold back or play it safe, or deliberately postpone our hopes and dreams. But sometimes we do, out of fear. Now, fear is a natural emotion that's positive and healthy. It keeps us out of danger. But some fears can have negative consequences which interfere with our living a happy and fulfilled life. Let's take a closer look. There are many levels of fear. Everyone has the same core fears. These are abandonment, rejection, and death. Then there are general fears, which include loss, not being lovable, and being concerned with what people think. And finally, there are circumstantial fears, which are specific to our lives. These fears are out of our control, such as a natural disaster, a war, or dealing with a cancer diagnosis. But there are other types of fears that can radically alter our life and come from what St. John of the Cross calls our false self or our ego. These fears distort reality, and two of the strongest are the fear of failure and the fear of pain. With the fear of failure comes a petrified sense of letting go. It's a constant need to be in control of what is happening around us and to us. This resistance obstructs the free-flowing grace of joy and new opportunity. We become trapped in our little world, frozen in time. We play it safe, but end up living a kind of limbo, uneventful existence. Then there's the fear of pain, where we remember hurts and betrayals from our past. These create reruns on the disappointments we've endured and the loneliness we felt during those times. As a result of these fears, we may remain stuck in unhealthy, unfulfilled, and hopeless love and work situations. These fears also hold us back spiritually. What we're dealing with here is ultimately a lack of trust in God. There's no relationship with God. There's no sense of God's presence and action alive in our lives. Overcoming these fears with faith and hope in God is one of the most important steps in our spiritual self-development. So, how do we overcome these fears and live fulfilled lives with and in Christ? One amazing woman of faith in the last century was Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian watchmaker and writer who became part of the Dutch underground resistance. She and her family saved over 800 Jews in their house during the Holocaust. Her experience has been documented in her autobiography and in an incredible movie called The Hiding Place. A famous saying of hers is this: "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Corrie and her family were later caught by the Nazis, and she was imprisoned and sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp along with her sister Betsy. Tragically, Betsy died just days before Corrie's release on December 31, 1944. Soon after the Holocaust, she established a post-war home for other survivors trying to recover from the horrors they all escaped. Later, she became a missionary, preaching the need for forgiveness. Her principles were severely tested, however, when 3 years later, in 1947, she came face to face with one of her prison camp tormentors. Allow me to read this powerful segment from her autobiography. "It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken. I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message, 'God forgives.' And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It all came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were." "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard in there. But since that time," he went on, "I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein." His hand came out. "Will you forgive me?" And I stood there, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven, and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours, as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Isn't this a beautiful story revealing Corey's strong faith, her intimate relationship to Jesus? When you begin to slowly surrender your life to God, daily existence becomes enriched with graces and blessings. Ways of restricted living and false security, which you had desperately held on to in the past, gently open up into a future of opportunity before you. What is loving reality moves deeper into you. You learn to recognize and see and feel God's action and presence, moment by moment. Jesus declared, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." The more closely we are united to Christ by faith, charity, and good works, done with the intention of pleasing Him, the more intensely will He live in us and bestow on us continually a life of grace. Corey lived this. She says, "Every experience God gives us, every person He puts into our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only He can see." God plants custom dreams and desires as seeds in our souls. They are our destiny, missions. We must never allow our fears or doubts to halt our nurturing souls. We must find the courage and trust to fulfill the plan carefully folded up before us. Our plan is in Christ, custom designed by Him to be our way, our truth, and our life. Day after day, Jesus provides grace to each of us, and He causes it to increase and develop in us. This is so we may live continually under His influence. It's a living in Him, which is the true reality. We live in Him anyway, whether we're aware of it or not. We're never alone. Desires and opportunities are signposts on a map to our life in Christ. Both Rosemary and Corey recognized very important signposts at extremely difficult and heart-wrenching times in their life. But they saw these moments as unique gifts of healing, and they immediately responded. Subsequently, their lives would change forever. And by their faithful response, they in turn enhanced and supported the lives of so many people. Certainly, there are universal desires, such as peace, happiness, and love, that all of us have. But within you are desires that are exclusively yours. They are your eternal desires. Saint Therese of Lisieux said, "God would never inspire me with desires which cannot be realized. So in spite of my littleness, I can hope to be a saint." Eternal desires within our souls activate our lives. We find ourselves and our destinies in Christ. But these desires require faith, hope, and trust. And following these desires sometimes demands remarkable boldness or incredible courage. We must also have the insight to recognize and act upon these impending desires with a spiritual vision. So, what exactly is spiritual vision? To see, really see, has been called an art. It's not simply looking, it's learned. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see." Two people can look at the same scene and see it from a totally different perspective. A psychologist and an arresting officer may perceive the actions of a teen gang member from divergent viewpoints. One sees a troubled youth. Another sees a troublemaker. Initially, Corey saw people desperately in need, and her soul reached out to them. She also saw, after her prison experience, that God was asking her to live up to her preaching of forgiveness. Seeing involves greater understanding and deep awareness. Maybe that's why a person with a gift of wisdom, profound insight, and intuition is called a seer. From the moment of our birth, we're human beings who are seeing, learning, evaluating, and perceiving. We are becoming. In philosophy, theoria is a Greek word for the way of seeing. It's directly connected to the Greek word ethos, the way of being. Being is awareness, living in the present moment. Becoming is an openness to moving forward, a conscious stepping into an unfolding plan, God's plan. It's recognizing a new horizon and going toward it. Becoming leads to transcendence, going beyond who we are into new possibilities, seeing and living life another way. There's a sense of newness. Becoming is related to seeking, exploring the what ifs and hows and pondering them, then moving directly into action with expectation and hope. Becoming is not waiting to see what others think in terms of acceptance or affirmation or praise. Becoming is an inward journey moving outward. And it's genuinely sought in silence and solitude, yet later expressed in remarkable ways before the world. Everything that happens to you has the potential to deepen you, strengthen you, build character, resilience, and more importantly, humility and trust in God. Pope Francis actually has much to tell us about this. Let's review his thoughts on this form of spiritual growth. In his book, Let Us Dream, The Path to a Better Future, Pope Francis warns about three tragic ways of escaping reality which block our growth and especially block God's action. He identifies them as narcissism, discouragement, and pessimism. He writes, "Narcissism takes you to the mirror to look at yourself, to center everything on you so that's all you see. You end up so in love with the image you created that you wind up drowning in it. It's very difficult to deal with a narcissist. They make themselves the center of the universe. Discouragement, Pope Francis writes, leads you to lament and complain about everything so that you no longer see what is around you, nor what others offer you, only what you think you've lost. Discouragement leads to sadness in the spiritual life, which is a worm that gnaws away at you from the inside. Eventually, it closes in on yourself, and you can't see anything beyond yourself. And then there's pessimism, which is like a door you shut on the future and the new things it can hold, a door you refuse to open in case one day there'll be something new on your doorstep." For the Pope, these three ways can close us to what is most important. They block you, paralyze you, and cause you to focus on things that stop you from moving ahead. They are all, in the end, about preferring the illusions which mask reality rather than discovering all that we might be able to achieve. One of my favorite quotes from the poet Goethe is this one: "Whatever you do or dream, you can begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." The Bible tells us 365 times, "Do not fear." The ego, the false self, is afraid, threatened, competitive, and grasping. The soul, however, has no limits. It's journeying towards endless horizons, unafraid of what is to come. It lives in time and in eternity. It lives in God. This is your deepest identity, your true self. St. Augustine's prayer sums up this thought in Christ. May my mind, my heart, my body, my life be wholly animated by you. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you. And I will live no longer through my own efforts, but through you. At the end of the last two podcasts, you were asked to do some self-reflection and to write down your own insights for change and growth in your present life. Would you review your ideas now and label the ones that bring you the most joy and hope? Then again, review and label the ones that make you most anxious and fearful. You may wish to bring these lists to God in a heart-to-heart conversation. All the desires for our lives must have His will in mind. There is nothing to fear if we live with that intent. God is good. He loves us, and He wants our well-being and happiness. Until the next time, we're keeping you and your loved ones in the daily prayers of our monastery. If you are not a member of our email community, please join by subscribing below to be informed on our next podcast in this Divine Intimacy series. May God bless you abundantly.